supposedly giving some guy CPR.
Oh!
So there was a guy leaning over, and there was cots all around him, so the camera couldn't really catch it, but...
You give that guy so much room.
But then this one guy got a camera.
What is another shooter? What is another shooter going to come out and shoot him again? No, they don't get the medical staff.
So you see this guy. You can see this guy pump, like leaning over the guy and up and down, right? But then there was this one camera angle that got a shot of it, and the guy was leaning completely over the guy and pushing down on his beside him.
Yeah.
The guy had hands on his chest. The guy was laying on his hands.
He's breathing and giving him chest compressions at the same time. Like, completely not even doing proper.
Yeah, one person doing the breathing part.
Yeah, at a time. Horrible mess. Like, it was a mess. Like, and yet people still bought it. They still bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. They thought it was a real deal. Well, a lot of people, like most average everyday Joe Blow, there was a lot of like, oh my god, that's horrible.
Same as usual.
Yeah. Most people first graders are like, that's horrible CPR, you know. Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to end this year. I do want to ask everybody out there that's listening to kind of think back to why we're doing what we're doing. Think to what you want to do, what you want to see. And I mean, I'm sure you don't want this freaking government. Doesn't matter where you are. I don't care if you're in Europe. I don't care if you're here. We're all going through the same shit now. This is the effect of globalization, people, is that we're, in effect, under the same umbrella, and it's going to get worse. What's happening in Europe right now with the Syrian refugees is going to turn into a huge clusterfuck of biblical proportions, and it's going to turn the entire EU into its own, like, it's going to become one big mosh pit, and it's going to be ruled by one, and I'm sure they're going to tie everybody else into it as well, and that's just, you know, stage by stage, they're trying to create their one world government. New World Order is two acts in a four act play, and They're almost there. Mm-hmm. Any words, Tom? Any words before we leave people? Do you have anything to say about anything motivational? Because this has been kind of a negative podcast in the sense of pointing out the fallacies of government and how they're fucking us over. Any positive notes? Like, how can we rise up and, like, you know, at least motivate people, motivate ourselves, and just say, hey, we are free men and women of this planet.
Just look at what Iceland did. They said enough. They threw the bankers out, threw them in jail, erased the debt, reformed their government.
Yes.
Now,
having said that, thank you, Tom. That was perfect because you just segued into where I wanted to go with this. How do we go about that now? Is it a granular process, yes?
Yes, I would still say grassroots, from the local level up.
From the local level up, and that means organizing with your local groups and teaming up with your neighboring cities. Start to coordinate. Look, this isn't a pipe dream to change the world. We can all just change the world. Like, we just have to, like, coordinate. And start talking to your neighbors. You know, bust out of your shoebox. Stop not talking to your neighbors because, you know, the government says it's bad. You know, all this shit that they're pushing, hey, rat your neighbors out if you see suspicious activity. Christ. I gotta rat my government out because they got suspicious activity.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's just flood the hotline with their suspicious activity.
That's right. Yeah, there's a crazy man. He's in the police precinct. Take his gun away.
They keep calling him chief or something.
But that's just it. I mean,
I don't know why. Not even doesn't even look native, but they keep calling him chief. Just put him in handcuffs, will you?
Ah, man. Well, Tom.
And remember, this is what I do: is I do a little stuff each day, and after a month, you'd be surprised what you've accomplished. Just a little something each day.
Well, yeah, and that's true. Like everybody does their thing. I'm doing these videos now. I was on the sidelines for a number of years. Before that, I had ran bulletin board systems and had a little truth network on analog lines. I was in the military and learned a lot of shit about how fucked up they run. But let me tell you, like, it's not difficult. And it's not rocket science. Like, it is grassroots, like Tom said. Like, all you have to do. You know, actually, almost every major city in the North America anyway, most major cities have what's called a speaker's corner. If you look at your city map, every city has a speaker's corner. It's a place where they used to amass and listen to someone speak. They're usually acoustically designed to carry your voice out. Hey, who cares if anyone's listening? Just get up and start talking. They might call you crazy. Call all of us crazy anyway. But the thing is you don't know until you start to try. You know, at the very least, if that's what you do. Now, I know in the age of the internet, speaker's corner is rendered kind of obsolete, but going back to grassroots, that's where it starts. It starts at the local level.
And there's also a lot of people that, you know, they know, they see. They see what we're saying, they know it's true, but they do not want to get on a list. They do not want to be put on a list. They don't want to get noticed as being anti-government. I mean, they put
that fear. You're right. And those people, I addressed them last week on our podcast, those are the people that are on the fence. Look, I don't hate you. I just don't like the way you're going about your life because you know shit's fucked up and you're doing nothing about it. That, my friend, I call complicity. So please, jump off the fence and start telling your neighbors and your friends. Because guess what? If you're uncomfortable being part of the minority, then create your own majority. Because the majority you're part of now will kill you. Period.
That's right. You're not safe by sitting on the fence.
No. For one thing. You're just being saved for last.
Yeah.
So silence is agreement. If you're silent, you're agreeing with what's happening.
That's right.
And you got to realize that fear has been instilled into you through predictive programming and things like that from TV shows. I can understand why people would be so
afraid. Well, they're more scared of you than you are of them. Realize that.
It's true. That's true, though. They are more afraid of us than we are of them.
I know even earlier in this podcast, I even said, yeah, they have the guns. Look, fear porn aside, guns or not, they don't have the numbers. They can have all the guns in the world, but if they don't have the people to pick up those guns are fucking useless. Period. So, if the people smarten up and say, hey, I'm done with this shit, time to get a new boss.
You know how they say guns don't kill people? People do. Well, guns also don't save your family. You do. You may need a gun to do that.
I also say guns aren't stupid. People are, but hey. I mean, I say that joking around. I don't believe people are stupid. I think every single person alive on this planet is here with his own life experiences and needs and wants. And look, there's a better world out there, and we have the capability to take it back before it goes to the next step. I mean, anyway.
step is when he leaves the UN, one step closer.
Yeah. Yeah. And anybody in the truther community knows that the UN is basically just a bunch of bureaucracy and bullshit combined with a false sense of hope. I learned what the UN was about back in the 90s when I was supposed to get sent to Cyprus. And while I was folding up my clothes and packing up my my ruck box there, I was basically watching the politicians say, "We're pulling out of Cyprus after 33 years, too many accidents and this and that and blah, blah, blah." But now it becomes a financial issue. I thought you were trying to help people. You know, well, governments don't help people. People help people. That's the bottom line.
That's right. Why would you count on somebody in Washington to help you when you got neighbors? Or why would you wait for some government in Washington to help your neighbor when you're right there and you could help them?
Yeah. You are what you're waiting for.
That's correct. Well, I'm going to take us out on this note and leave the listeners thinking about this. We'll follow up. We'll do another show in a couple of days. There's a couple other groups, Tom, that I'm going to introduce you to that have also done very similar things that you're doing. They've actually drafted up arrest warrants for basically every single politician and current White House executive all the way across the states and across Canada. I'll introduce you to these people. If we can get these writs filed and get people to back them, I'm all for it, man. And
absolutely.
You know what? You got my support 100%, man.
Appreciate it.
Okay. And I want everyone else out there to realize that this isn't about doing a podcast for popularity or to do a show to entertain you. This is to educate you and to make you realize that we are on the precipice of change. You just have to figure out what side, and I don't like to use the term sides, you just have to figure out where you want to be at the end of this. And I think I'm going to take us out on that note. Tom, I'm going to thank you for coming here and spending your time with us. Is there anything else you'd like to say to everyone out there before, and don't go anywhere, because when I hit the offline button, we'll talk after the show as well. Go ahead and say whatever you want to these guys.
You've got to do something. Anything at this point, small actions every day will add up. And no one is coming to save you. Remember that.
That's correct. Rick?
I'd like to give a shout out to Little Wing over there. She pointed me to this guy, Privatas. Or privatist.me living, a YouTube channel.
Yeah, familiar with him, yeah.
Very, very action-oriented guy. So I'm going to put the link to that in our description as well.
That's cool.
To his YouTube page.
Oh, and to send us out, we got Ladder Rain.
Hey, hey, Tom. I just want to send my love and my prayers to you and everybody with you. And I know it's not easy. So I just wanted to say that. I was trying to get in forever, but just wanted to go ahead and say that while you guys close out.
Appreciate it.
All right, everybody. You know who I am. This is Thomas Deegan. He's joined us. Got Rick B. Latterain just joined us, but we're going to be signing out. Going to leave you guys with that to think about. All the links that we talked about will be in the description box below, and I'll follow up with another video with instructions on how to file things in whatever area that you're in and try to give some advice. And, hey, also remember, every single city has a city hall. There's nothing wrong with protesting, grassroots, man, all the way. Get up, say something, be heard, be bodies, man, and get out there. There's no quick fix to this. Alright? So, on that note, peace out. Take care of each other, man. Take care of each other. And, yeah, until next time.
Tripper Williams, I just want to get a timeline here. The conference call that we heard earlier today, what day was that?
The conference call was the 14th of September.
September 14th of what year?
2015.
And then we heard on that conference call that the takeover was scheduled for September 24th, 2015. Is that correct? 10 days later. Now, something we've heard both in that conference call and then again in this YouTube video is talk about the Pope going and speaking to the United Nations. Do you recall, just in current events or in your investigation, when the Pope was to speak at the United Nations?
It was September 24th of 2015.
Okay. So right around the time that the actual takeover of West Virginia was supposed to take place.
Yes, sir.
And what was the date of the YouTube video that we just saw?
It was the week of the 24th. I don't remember whether it was Monday or Tuesday of that. What day of that exactly?
Okay, before.
It was before the Thursday of the 24th.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And so in there we heard they referred to when they were asking Mr. Deegan about the takeover. They referred to last Monday's call. Would the Monday before that have been the 14th?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So after you heard the conference call, and at one point did you discover the YouTube video? Was that prior to an arrest?
What's that?
Was the YouTube video, did you discover that prior to the arrest or after the arrest?
The YouTube video was after the arrest.
Okay. So then at some point you decided that there was enough there to arrest the defendant?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you recall the birth date of the defendant?
1977 or 76, I believe.
If
in July.
Okay, if I showed you your criminal complaint that you filed, would that help you remember?
Yes, sir.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
No.
Did that help you remember the defendant's birthday?
Yes, sir.
And what day is that?
It's July 27th of 1976.
Okay, so that would make him 39 until September?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and 39 at the time of this call?
Yes, sir.
Okay. After the defendant was arrested, did you review any of the jail phone calls that from the jail from Mark Jarrett in the North Central Region or the regional jail system?
Yes, sir.
And in those jail phone calls, could you identify the defendant's voice?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to play one of those for you. May I publish? Your Honor, do I have permission to publish? States number 3 at this time?
It has 2.
I'll be playing 1 at this time.
Okay.
Do you recall approximately the length of the phone calls?
Normally they're about 15 minutes, but okay. They could be less or more.
Okay. Thank you.
this prepaid call. Dial 0 now. To refuse this call, your call is being connected. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. House of Deacon.
Hello.
You okay today?
No, of course you go to court.
Tommy, we saw you. You were absolutely brilliant. We were shitting our bridges.
Well, what do you mean? I know the camera was there, but they actually showed what I had to say.
Absolutely, because we recorded and it's going to be all over the world. It's brilliant. Hold on.
Pretty good.
You were absolutely amazing. I'm so proud of you. Hold on, because you got, they're coming to see you tomorrow evening and they need to talk to you, okay? Alright, I love you.
Alright.
Hey, bro, you were fabulous, man.
Yeah, I fucked with her pretty good, didn't I?
You did it, man. You hit her, you mentioned that federal fucking civil suit coming their way and they'll be served either today or tomorrow. You're talking about the original broadcaster was talking about you wanting assistance of counsel. It's just beautiful, man. Just beautiful.
The only problem is it's going south real quick.
What do you mean?
South real quick. She called, it's probably not on the tape, but she called and got the circuit court to authorize for appointing me a lawyer.
No, we heard that. We heard it.
I didn't know how much they played.
Yeah, they did mention that that you had asked for assistance of counsel, and that you were reluctant, and they went ahead and issued you an attorney anyway, is what they said.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't because I brought up the fact that I said it's not the same bar that's incorporated under the Supreme Court, and I said therefore it's an officer of the court and not for the people. She flipped out. I kept bringing up the Sesame Trust, and I was the beneficiary, and she was up there screwing with that paperwork again. She had stuff written on it, but the official paperwork was still the Sesame Trust, but the stuff she was trying to get me assigned to move forward with names on it. David Alcadegan, the proper address. I mean, they're playing some major tricks, but they're going to steamroll ahead. In other words, Warren is trying to become judge. He's the prosecutor. Warden.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's trying to become judge. He's trying to take Judge Reed's place, which is the judge over my home confinement that's retiring.
Right.
So he's taking this case to the hill. This is his prize. You know, this is how he gets into the judgeship for the election. So, good news from your end. I mean, I did what I could.
Yeah, well, we went back to Charleston this morning. I went in and I asked for a procedural question of who is the presiding judge in this case, which was a civil case we filed. They gave us the name of the judge, and we ran over to the upstairs and over to the U.S. Marshals. I slipped in that federal writ of habeas corpus and I asked them, I need you to serve this on this federal judge, so-and-so, so I'll have the name in my head. They took about 10 minutes, we're in the waiting room, took about 10 minutes and came, another agent came back and said, we don't serve federal judges. I said, okay, we grabbed and walked right across the street to the sheriff's office. We walked in there, handed it to the lady there for the service of the sheriff's, and she said, hang on a minute. She walked back and asked somebody, and she came back and said, okay, it'll be $25. And then she said, well, this is the first time that ever since I've been here, this is the first time that we were ever asked to serve a federal judge.
That's not surprising.
Okay.
People are scared.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Or they don't know the process. So
right.
I told Jim Mike that, and he was just fucking just, yeah, them motherfuckers, he just wants to tear them up. But anyway, now that's okay.
They're going to tear me into an asshole here. That means they're going to steamroll ahead, regardless of.
So what about the federal suit coming? What about the federal writ? I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, if the only way that you get me out of their hands is if you get
you have somebody sign on your behalf, like, what the fuck is that?
Like an agent?
Well, yeah, yeah, like an agent or a, what the fuck is that? You need to demand that, and it's going to be this Dana Miller guy that actually did the, the writ and signed this complaint and all, you know what I mean? So you're going to have to demand that they do that.
Well, the best I can do is if someone got me a copy of the plenipotentiary off the site, or still, well, Dean's got my plenipotentiary. If someone can get the words on it, tell me the words. I mean, I could write one up and then...
Give
me a week or so.
When you get, if you're forced to stick with this public defender asshole...
I'm not signing a power of attorney, so they'll have a hard time.
I've been a power of attorney for this Miller guy, But anyway, well, what Jim Wright was saying is that you need, if they provide you with assistance of counsel, I've got these documents that are going to be, it's a census of counsel document, it's a judicial notice, and it's a motion for discovery. And what you want to do is you ask, if you end up getting a census of counsel, you got to ask them, will you file these legal documents on my behalf? And you can tell them what they are. Tell them it's for the assistance of counsel, because he's not going to be an attorney, he's going to be assistance of counsel. And the judicial notice and the motion for discovery, and you have to tell him that he has to allow us to be able to provide them to you, because we got to run off to a library or somewhere where we can get online, and we've got to draw these things up for you. We got to change them from Pennsylvania to West Virginia, you follow me? But that's only if you want to go that route. This is what Jim Wright's suggesting.
Well,
and if he does not, listen to this first. If he does not want to file those on your behalf, you fire him right on the spot, right in the courtroom with the judge there. You fire him because you're asking him to do things for you as a citizen of counsel. If he doesn't, you fire him, and they cannot move forward.
Well, they technically can't move forward when I don't accept it. Because I'm not signing a power of attorney with him. I know the assistance of counsel doctor you're talking about, because I've seen quite a few of them. But the problem is once you go that far, you're already past abatement, you're already past refusal, you're already past challenge of jurisdiction right off the gate. And I don't want to go that far yet.
Okay.
I don't want to go that far yet because I'm literally fucked according to the statute. I'm fucked if it goes to trial.
Okay.
You know, so my only hope is to procedurally go the round of abatement, refuse, just keep refusing everything, and pray that a writ gets down, because otherwise they're going to hang me. It'll be the maximum 3 years. They'll push the 1 to 5 on me in addition, so it'll be a total of 4 to 8 years.
I don't see how they can really do that without assistance of counsel.
They can do many things, but they'll keep saying, like, I didn't accept it. They provided it, I didn't accept it. But the whole case I was making is that he can't be counsel because he's a sub-corporation under the West Virginia Supreme Court. And that's what throughout the nation, like, when I said that, and then when I kept asking if this victim was going to be here, the last thing I said before I left was, is the victim going to be here next hearing, right?
Federal jurisdiction, they could just say we don't accept it.
Yeah, but then again, the judge is actually in the sheriff's jurisdiction in a way.
Nope, not in that federal enclave, he's not.
Well, in the federal enclave, they just have to wait for him to get off work.
But will they go that far for you, though?
I don't think they will.
I think that if they go in there, you know, I think the only thing they're going to do is going to walk into that federal courthouse, and they're going to try to serve that judge. They're going to go through the same. They can't bring their guns in there, because even cops can't bring their guns in that fucking federal building,
right. Nor
their cell phones or anything. Then he goes in there, and he can say he's got process of service. My question is that federal judge obligated to accept service?
Oh, I would say yeah.
Okay, well, that's part of your Jim Wright thing.
Yeah.
And Jim Wright was screaming on the phone. He goes, I'll fucking take that federal judge and I'll take him off that fucking... He's screaming on the phone on me. And he said, them motherfuckers, they're thugs. He's going to help us, man. He's going to help us. And we got a call from Jason Gabbard. He says he can get you out in either 24, 48 hours or 60 days.
Who?
Jason Gabbard.
Oh, you're kidding me, that moron?
Yeah, he called us out of the blue. It was so funny. He called us out of the blue, yes, last night.
So tell him to get me out in 48 hours then.
Yeah, we sent him a copy of the complaint and just told him to run with it. We, you know, any chance we can get you out of there, buddy, we're doing. Any fucking chance.
Yeah, they're going to hang me. The only other thing I would ask is that the next hearing will be within 10 days. I'm not sure it'll be a magistrate. You need to have Hudock there. He needs to be out front picketing, and they need to fill that courtroom.
Well, we had to kick Dean out of here today. It was a fucking flood. Didn't get anything done. Didn't fucking brush his teeth for fucking 2 weeks. I mean, we had to get his fucking ass out of here. We got him out of here today. I almost had a fight.
What happened with all that, man? That was helping him.
Yep, that's what I said. You get your people here by noon today. I want at least 20 commanders on this front porch, and I will direct them what they are to do. I got military background. I just fucking took the bull by the horns. And he didn't produce by 1:30. We had him over at the fucking hotel. I dropped him off all his shit. He drove all the way across the country. He's got to find his way. Let the fucking militias come and get him.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, man. We were fucking bummed. I couldn't fucking believe it. All fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah.
People, we can't trust anybody, bro. Nobody can we trust. Not even Phil Hudock, unfortunately.
Not even Phil at this point, but just call, get the magistrate hearing date. It should be within 10 days from today.
So we can call the magistrate and get the date?
Yeah.
And we'll be there. We'll be there.
And tell Gene, anybody need to get it, tell Phil they need to pack that courtroom. You can only fit like 20 in it, but you need to pack it, and then they need to be outside picketing. They need to be saying who the real terrorist is out front.
Okay.
They need to. Phil's got to do that. He's got to step up. He was going to step up for that bitch that didn't want to marry gay people, and she has to.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and here's a guy that, you know, I mean, he can stand on the legal eagle, and if anything I do, well, now it's time to step up, Phil, and Pastor Butch step up.
Well, Pastor Butch, you know, I talked to him that one time, and that was it. No calls.
60 seconds remaining.
Do you have any ideas? Nothing. Crickets. And I'm not calling these fucking clowns.
No. Just, hopefully Phil gets this stuff here, because I need to get that refused and stuff sent in.
He said he was going to send it. We gave him a direction to do that. We also sent you a copy of this federal civil case that's on the way to you. We sent the rules and the how the jail's supposed to treat you. You know, they're bullshit. I sent you that, and Alicia put a note in there. And I sent a copy of front back of your birth certificate, just in case you needed it.
Okay.
You never know. You may throw that on your face. What's that?
I heard 60 seconds, so I'm back.
I didn't hear it. Okay, then call me back if you can.
Okay. All right,
bye-bye.
Trooper, I want to play one portion for you and ask you a question about it. Did you recognize that voice as the defendant, Thomas Deegan?
Yes, sir.
I have no further questions for this witness at this time, Your Honor.
All right. This is a good time for us to recess for the evening. So we will resume tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I ask that each of you be back here shortly before 9 in the morning. Again, I want to caution you not to gather any information about this case. That includes, of course, not the local media, but anything on the Internet in terms of what I already asked you or directed you to do, which is not to Google or look up any of these names and websites that have been in the phone calls that we've listed to. So with that, we will see you all tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Is there anything that we need to take care of out of the presence of the jury?
Not that I'm aware of right now, unless we'll do jury instructions tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah. How much longer is your case going to be?
Depending on cross-examination, I just have Mr. Stevens, and he will not take very long. I would say just 20 minutes.
Okay. So you understand then, Mr. Deegan, that tomorrow morning will be your opportunity to present any evidence that you might have?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I still get to cross-examine
yes.
him.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Since
yes.
we left off at a
yes.
pretty bad spot here.
All right, jurors, clerk four, we're in recess.